Turn with me, please, to the passage we read in Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. Jonah 4, and reading verses 10 and 11. And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Well, we're continuing our studies this morning in the life of Jonah, and I want us this morning to look at this passage in Jonah 4 under two headings: a petulant prophet in verses 1 to 4, and then a gracious God in verses 5 to 11. A petulant prophet and a gracious God. And as we focus on these verses, I hope it will awaken us more to the wonder and the glory of God's grace, and encourage us today to show and to display that same grace toward others. So let's move into the passage. And the first thing we see then is the petulant prophet in verses 1 to 4. And we see in these verses that Jonah is angry with God for his amazing grace. Jonah's angry with God for his amazing grace. Now, we read about Jonah's anger in verse 1. Now, let's just consider where Jonah's been. He has been given a definitive commission to go to Nineveh and preach God's message to that city, and he responded in chapter 1 with defiant disobedience. He went the opposite way. He had then been relentlessly pursued by God's severe mercy and found himself being cast into the sea before being swallowed by a divinely appointed great fish. While inside the fish, Jonah praised God for his amazing grace, his amazing deliverance of him. Jonah then went to Nineveh and preached that in 40 days the Lord would overturn the city, and after preaching that message, he witnessed the whole city responding to God with repentance. And the narrative closed with God having compassion on Nineveh and not bringing the destruction he had threatened. Chapter 3, verse 10. And in chapter 4, verse 1, we suddenly read, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." Now, this verse is literally translated, "It was a great evil to Jonah, and he burned with anger." Listen carefully. Jonah has seen an amazing response to his preaching. He has seen 120,000 people turning to God as one in repentance. And Jonah has seen God act in grace, not simply to himself, but to the whole of Nineveh. He has spared the whole city. And despite all this, Jonah is furious, and he says to God, "You cannot be serious." You see, Jonah sees God's amazing grace on full display, and he sees it as a great evil, and he's angry with God. Jonah is miserable on the greatest revival the world ever saw. Imagine that. Angry on the day of the world's greatest ever revival, when 120,000 people came to God. And look at Jonah's prayer then in verse 2. Verse 2 makes it very clear why Jonah had refused to go to Nineveh in chapter 1. Jonah hadn't refused to go to Nineveh because he was afraid of going to a foreign country. Jonah didn't refuse to go to Nineveh because he was embarrassed to stand on a street corner and preach to passers-by. Jonah hadn't refused to go to Nineveh because he was afraid of preaching a message of judgment. Jonah had refused to go to Nineveh because he knew his God. Jonah had refused to go to Nineveh because he was a good theologian. Jonah had refused to go to Nineveh because he'd read his Bible. You see, in verse 2, Jonah knows that God is gracious, he is merciful, he is slow to anger, he is abounding in steadfast love, he relents in sending disaster. Jonah has read Exodus 33. Jonah has sung Psalm 145. And Jonah had decided he wouldn't go to Nineveh because he knew that if the Ninevites heard his message, they just might turn to God, and God would spare them, because God is gracious, and he is merciful, and he's slow to anger, and he relents in sending disaster. And even when Jonah went and preached to Nineveh, do you remember in chapter 3, he refused to make any mention of God, refused to mention the name of the Lord. Why? Because he didn't want the people turning to God. He didn't want the people calling on the name of God. Why? Because everyone who calls on the name of God will be saved. And despite all this, the Ninevites, in God's grace, believed God, they turned to God, and God graciously spared them. And in verse 3, Jonah hits the roof and he says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." This is a horrendous prayer. Jonah's putting the bargaining chips down. He's giving God an ultimatum. He's pushing God into a corner. Jonah's saying, "Lord, you either kill those pagan Gentiles or you kill me. It's me or them. Lord, which are you going to kill? I'm not willing to live in a world where you treat pagans with such grace. Which do you want, Lord? Which do you love, Lord? A pagan or a prophet?" Jonah's saying, "Lord, you want to save these pagan Ninevites? Over my dead body." Literally. Isn't it amazing that Jonah would rather die than see pagans saved? In the gospel, Jesus would rather die than see pagans lost. What a contrast. What a contrast. And in verse 4, God asks Jonah a question. How would you respond if Jonah spoke to you like that? Here's Jonah who has refused to go to Nineveh. Here's Jonah who begrudgingly obeyed God and then gone to Nineveh, but only when his back was to the wall. Here's Jonah who had delivered the most half-hearted sermon you've ever heard while in Nineveh. And here's Jonah who is angry when he sees the repentance of Nineveh and the grace lavished on Nineveh. How would you respond? Well, look what the Lord says in verse 4. "Do you do well to be angry?" You know, as we read the Bible, God often asks questions of people who aren't in a good place spiritually. He asks questions to pierce their minds, their hearts, their souls, their consciences. When Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, God comes to them saying, "Where are you? What have you done? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat?" When Cain murders his brother Abel, God comes to him saying, "Where is your brother?" When Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss, Jesus says to him, "Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Peter denies 3 times with curses that he knows Jesus, Jesus asks him 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" When Paul persecutes the church, Jesus comes to him saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" God asks questions to pierce the heart of the hearer. Maybe he's asked you a question on occasion, saying, "What are you doing? Where are you at? What's happened to you?" And here God asks Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry? Have you any right to be angry?" God is speaking to Jonah's mind, to his heart, to his soul, to his conscience. So we see in verses 1 to 4 a petulant prophet. And you know, as we look at Jonah's anger toward God, we really see a man who's depressed that God would show mercy and grace and compassion to undeserving people. You see, as far as Jonah's concerned, there are sinners, and there are sinners. I have a friend who I used to visit in the North Coast, and he never went near the church and would proudly tell me, I'm not a good person, and I'm not really a bad person, I'm somewhere in between. I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm not Adolf Hitler. And that's Jonah. He knows he's not perfect, but he sees himself as being a whole lot better than those pagan Ninevites. As far as Jonah's concerned, there are people who are absolutely beyond redemption. And as far as Jonah's concerned, the people who are beyond redemption are those who have been cruel to him and his people. Jonah hates God's forgiveness of the Ninevites. He saw it as evil. Why? Because he couldn't find it in himself to forgive the Ninevites. And perhaps there are people that we may struggle to forgive. Have you forgiven that person at work who knifed you in the back? Have you forgiven that person who borrowed money and never repaid you? Have you forgiven that teacher, that playground bully, who reduced you or your precious child to tears? Have you forgiven that person who spoke maliciously about you or your family? We all find it hard to forgive, every one of us. But Jonah didn't simply struggle with forgiveness, he also struggled with jealousy. You see, he basked in being an Israelite. He basked in being one of God's chosen covenant people. And he reveled in being a recipient of God's special saving grace. But as soon as Jonah sees God being good toward others, he's furious. And every time we find ourselves being jealous of the blessings, the talents, the friends, the family of others, we too are expressing resentment at God's goodness. Jealousy is an ugly thing. And it's ugly because it's primarily anger directed toward a loving God. Jealousy is ugly because it's a person turning to God and saying with Jonah, "You cannot be serious." Jealousy is ugly because it's a person finding God's goodness to others to be evil. Jealousy is ugly because it's a person looking at what God's doing in the life of others and they're saying like a spoiled child, "That's not fair. I deserve more. I deserve better. Me, me, me." Jonah is jealous and he is unforgiving. And that is why he is a petulant prophet who truly needs to see the grace of God. And that brings us secondly to the gracious God in verses 5 to 11. And we see that God speaks to Jonah about his amazing grace. God reminds Jonah of his amazing grace. In verse 5 we read about Jonah's vigil. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and he made a booth for himself. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Have you ever lost your temper with someone? I'm not looking for a show of hands, but I'm sure most of us have. Maybe they've said something true about you. Maybe it was very close to the bone. And you've walked away from them. You've slammed the door in their face. You've nothing more to say to them. And you're going to wait until they see the error of their ways, not your ways. Well, that's Jonah. God has spoken to him in gentleness and tenderness and grace. But he's also pierced Jonah's heart with the words, "Do you do well to be angry?" And Jonah responds when it gets so close to the bone by storming away from God. Isn't that the way he always acts? When God confronts Jonah, he runs away. If God tells Jonah, "Preach to Nineveh," he says, "I'll run away," chapter 1. If God says to Jonah, "Why are you angry?" he says, "I'll run away from God," chapter 4. And we're told that Jonah constructs a shelter and he waits to see what would happen. He's sitting under the shelter thinking, "I wonder how long this so-called Ninevite repentance will really last. I wonder how genuine those Ninevite conversions really are. I wonder if Nineveh really are born again." Jonah's sitting in his shelter and he's expectantly waiting for the Ninevites to fail in their newfound relationship with God. Isn't it sad that instead of rejoicing at the glorious transformation of the Ninevites, Jonah's waiting and he's longing for them to fail and fall and be forsaken by God? And he's also sitting in that shelter thinking, "I wonder when God will change his mind. I wonder when God will actually listen to me, a prophet. I wonder when God will see how right I am and see the error of his ways. I wonder when God will rain down fire and brimstone from heaven on Nineveh, and I want to be there at the front to see it." What an ugly character he's become. And as Jonah engages in his vigil, we read the Lord gives him an object lesson in verses 6 to 8. In verse 6, God appoints a plant. You see, timber was scarce in this region. Jonah's shelter was probably made from bits of clay and bits of stone. And in his grace, God provides a plant, a vine to bring Jonah shade. And you know, sometimes that's the way God acts with us, isn't it? Sometimes God comes to us with a stern word of rebuke to stop us in our tracks. But sometimes God also comes to us with gentle grace to melt our cold, hard hearts. And here's the Lord gently and graciously seeking to melt the heart of the stony, cold, unforgiving prophet. And we're told the plant, the vine, provided Jonah with shelter and with shade. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. Listen carefully. Jonah was exceedingly glad about the vine. Verse 5, verse 6. He's not happy when God calls him to go to Nineveh. He's not happy when God forgives him and asks him to go to Nineveh a second time. He's not happy when Nineveh responds to his preaching with repentance. He's not happy when God spares Nineveh in his grace. But boy is Jonah happy about a vine. Boy is Jonah happy about a plant. Boy is Jonah happy about a little divine air conditioning. It's pathetic. It would almost be funny if it wasn't so close to home. Because what can make us happy? It might be a holiday abroad. It might be a date with the person of our dreams. It might be a quiet evening at home with no one interrupting us. It might be our favourite sports team winning. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of these things, don't get me wrong. But if they are bringing us more joy than hearing the gospel of God's grace and heralding the gospel of grace, there is a major problem. And that was Jonah's problem. Do you remember what brought Jesus real joy? Doing the Father's will. Saving sinners. He went to the cross for the joy set before him. What a contrast with Jonah. And so in verse 7, God appoints a worm. He had appointed a great storm and then a great fish to waken Jonah previously. And now God silently and sovereignly and subtly appoints a worm to eat the plant. We read in verse 7 that when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. The vine hadn't melted Jonah's cold, hard heart. And so God takes a more drastic form of action to awaken Jonah to spiritual realities, to stop Jonah in his tracks. And in verse 8, God goes even further and appoints a wind. The sun rises. And as it rises, God provides a scorching east wind, and the sun blazes on Jonah's head. But again, we see that hard heart of Jonah. Because instead of crying to God for forgiveness, we read, Jonah grew faint, he wanted to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Over and over, Jonah's saying in this passage, it's not fair, I want to die. It's not fair, I want to die. It's not fair, I want to die. And so having given Jonah an object lesson, God comes to him with a final challenge. Verses 9 to 11. God comes to Jonah saying, do you do well to be angry about the plant? Verse 9. Again, God's questioning Jonah, piercing his mind, his heart, his soul, seeking to see Jonah become aware of his sinfulness. And Jonah says, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And so often when we're not walking closely with God, small annoyances will strike us with great force and seem like tremendous tragedies. A punctured tire, a chip on the windscreen, a broken mug in the dishwasher, TV on the blink, burnt Sunday lunch. It's trivial, but it's tragic when we're not walking closely with God. Just as an example from my own life, I remember when someone bumped into me on the A9 once, and I lost the head. I didn't know what to do, so I kicked the road, and then I kicked the car. I nearly kicked the woman, but I didn't. It was trivial, but to me it was tragic. And at this moment, God speaks to Jonah about the vine, verses 10 to 11. Jonah has been concerned and felt compassion toward a plant that he'd not grown. It was there one day and it was gone the next. And Jonah's crying and saying he wishes to die over the tragic loss of this plant. And God says to Jonah, look at Nineveh. It's got 120,000 people. Look at Nineveh. It's got 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. In other words, they are spiritually blind, spiritually in the dark, and I am concerned about them. Look at Nineveh, Jonah. It's got many cattle. And Jonah, even if you don't care about people, maybe you'll care about animals. And how often is that the case? That sometimes we see people a lot more concerned about the RSPCA than the SSPCA or SSPCC. Isn't that true? Lord God is challenging Jonah. He's saying, you care about a plant, but you don't care about animals and you don't care about people. Jonah, what's going on with you? Jonah, are you actually able to sing Psalm 8 that celebrates the fact that every human is a royal child of the Creator God? They may not be saved, but they're still created in the image of God. The Lord is saying, Jonah, I love sinners. I love wicked people. I love the people you think are beyond redemption. And I don't want them to perish, Jonah. That's why I sent you. Jonah, stop begrudging my grace to these people. And God closes his discussion with Jonah by asking in verse 11, should not I pity Nineveh, that great city? Now, we're not given Jonah's answer to this question. We don't know how Jonah finished his days. But in asking the question, God is leaving the ball in my court and your court. God is saying, is extending the grace of God your priority and my priority? Is showing the grace of God, the compassion of God, my priority and your priority? Are we concerned that people, even those who have wronged us, even those who have hurt us, even those who have thrown us under the bus, hear of God's mercy and be saved? Are we concerned? So God speaks to Jonah about his grace. Now, the book of Jonah was written to the people of Israel. They were a people God had chosen, a people God had loved. But they had turned that election into elitism. They had begun to regard non-Jews with hatred, and they didn't seek conversions. They wanted to harness, they wanted to control the compassion of God to suit their own agenda. And in this book, God is saying to his people, I love sinners. I love write-offs. I love the people you think are beyond hope and beyond redemption. And verses 5 to 11 really pave the way for the coming and the commission of the Lord Jesus, who came not simply for the Jew, but for the Gentile, you and I. You see, in the gospel, we see Jesus bringing good news to a Samaritan woman whose town had written her off as a moral train wreck. In the gospel, we see Jesus healing the son of an unclean Roman royal official. In the gospel, we see Jesus speak of having other sheep, not of the fold of Israel. In the gospel, we see Jesus claiming he will be lifted up. Why? To draw all people to himself. In the gospel, we see Jesus crying that the Roman soldiers would be forgiven by God as they drive the nails through his hands and his feet. In the gospel, we see Jesus commissioning the disciples to go with the gospel, not simply to Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth. Jesus was willing to leave his glorious heavenly city and then leave the earthly city of Jerusalem and let the fiery heat of hell fall upon him with full force, with no shelter or shade to protect him, that he might be the shelter and shade from the wrath of God that you and I need. And the question that we are all left with from this passage is, do we want to show and extend that same grace to other people? Do we love because we have first been loved? Do we forgive so much because we have been forgiven so much? That is the question God put to Jonah. It is the question he puts to you and I. Will we believe that he is gracious and treats us with grace and treat others with that same grace? Amen. Thank you.